I missed the station and identification. That's all right. Amy's here right at my side, and she's going to be with you for the next hour. And you go by the 4-H that Jerry does? 4-H, health, happiness, and my brain's forgetting
harmony
the other two.
Harmony and humor.
Harmony and humor, all good things to live by. So Amy's right here to dial you in on the 4-H's. Thanks for listening to All Over the Map. Be for here. Don't forget Gary after Amy. Warming up our weekend, and keep it tuned to Community Radio, WMRW, LP, 94.5 FM, WMRW.org. Here you go, Amy.
Thanks.
All right.
Oh, you are serious. There we go.
Okay. The mic is still up for you.
Yeah, great. Oh, someone's calling already?
All right. I'm going to call her on the hotline.
Oh, cool.
Hello, WMRW. Hey.
Alrighty, folks. Hey, let's see if this plays here. Mazel tov to the new grandson, I wanted to say, to our previous programmer. Here we go. Good afternoon. My name is Amy, and I am substituting today for Jerry on the 4-H show, which does stand for health, harmony, happiness, and humor, which are all my favorite qualities to celebrate every day of the week. So I'm really glad to have the opportunity to co-host with Jerry. She's so sweet, and she has invited me to help her with the show, and I am so honored. Very honored to be here on my first day flying solo on WMRW 94.5 FM. Yes, and mazel tov to you, grandfather.
Yes.
Awesome. Let me just let you know that the following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Roots Work. It may not even represent my opinions all the time either. So I just like to consider all thoughts and opinions, and that's why I love community radio, because wherever we're at and whatever we're going through at the moment, we can come to these airwaves and share it. And that's how we can all grow, of course, in our understanding and of the truth and of each other. And so let me just let you know that we do have some sponsors for the 4-H show. The first one is Super Simple Foods, offering homemade soups and fresh bread daily. You can find Super Simple Foods at the Mad River Car Wash at 124 Findlers Green in Waitsfield from Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. There is a second sponsor for this show as well. We have Whipple Tree Designs. And Whipple Tree Designs have Vermont souvenir apparel for all ages. Whipple Tree Designs is located at Mad River Green Shopping Center in Waitsfield. You can reach Whipple Tree Designs by calling 802-496-9694. You can also follow them on Instagram under Whipple Tree Designs. All right, so I think I have gotten through all of the business that I need to cover at the beginning. We did the station ID, the sponsors, and the disclaimer, so we are ready to officially start the 4-H show. And my name is Amy, and I came today with some really cool information that I have actually been wanting to share this information and finding ways to share this information for the past 2 years. And I feel like this is such an amazing gift to be able to come in here to the station and finally be able to put into words for the world to hear and better understand basically the scientific method. I've been very concerned over the past 2 years that the scientific method has been sort of scrapped, and science has turned more into a religion and a set of beliefs. And because my background is in media literacy and advertising techniques, I can totally understand why people have come to these understandings that they have, these beliefs that they have, about the things that are going on, about health, happiness, humor, and harmony, about the four H's and how our lives are impacted. But in these times, I feel like we really need to be super cautious about beliefs that we are being handed, about information that we are being shown. We need to be more discerning. And that brings me back to, of course, the scientific method, which is not broken. 2 years ago, I started diving directly into the science surrounding a specific topic, specifically the use of face masks in response to COVID-19. And that was a subject I had never heard about before, face masks. In all my years of healthcare and health education and science and research, I had never come across it. And when I dove into that mountain of evidence, I was so amazed with what I found. See, the science is perfectly clear. It's crystal clear. But we have to know where to find it, and we have to know how to read it. And I know people are busy, and I know people have other things going on. So we're going to take a little time today to break this down and try to make it a little simpler and easier, some scientific literacy, perhaps, instead of media literacy. We'll do some scientific method literacy. But first, some music. Thank you for joining me.
This is real talk. This is non-stop. It is loop now, tongue and mind played off the sidewalk, straight to your boombox. How it travels from ear to memory. Well, this is medicine. There's a message within, and each will find it in their own time. Well, this is music. This is how I use it. It makes you move and move the movement. This is how I focus, knowing it's not hopeless, but it sure starts with me and ends on a whole note. Musical medicine, this is my healing for past and present, future things to come. I see people stressing over space and possessions, out of fear and a need for visual aids of our abundance. Give me examples or something tangible, something I can get my hands on and find real meaning. Where is the medicine? Well, I've been searching, and I suppose each will find their own kind. Well, everything's at stake. It makes it hard to concentrate. And there are men who see a war and see a paycheck. Such different programming to live so fearfully. Terror this and terror that, terrible reality. There is no medicine on the television. So turn it off and turn yourself around. Thank you. And let's just face it, the world's racist. Even the most peaceful of us gets caught in the trend. To live cohesively is almost a fantasy. And we ought to know it starts with humbling our egos. What is the medicine for cultural wounding? Has its moments, has its melodies, has its time. Well, I was listening to the outgoing seasons about climate change and some of the reasons. When the sky opened like I've been hoping, and there came horses by the thousands, and there was thunder on their tongues and lightning on their minds, and they were singing this old melody from some other time. They sang, don't waste your hate, rather gather and create. Be of service, be a sensible person, use your words and don't be nervous. You can do this, you've got purpose. Find your medicine and use it. They sing, don't waste your hate, rather gather and create.
Be of service, be a sensible person, use your words and don't be nervous. You can do this, you've got purpose. Find your medicine and use it. They sing, don't waste your hate, rather gather and create. Be a service, be a sensible person, use your words and don't be nervous. You can do this, you've got purpose. I'm innocent and use it.
Okay, folks, so we are all about finding our medicine and using it here on the 4-H show. And my name is Amy, and I'm substituting today for Jerry. It is my deep, deep honor to be here today to discuss one of my favorite subjects, which is how to evaluate the validity of information. This is a big problem, of course. I think most people understand this, because however it is that you see the truth and whatever sources you use and however you discern the world around you and what's really going on in reality, from wherever you sit right now, I'm sure you are well aware that there are people who disagree, who see it completely differently. I mean, even if you agree on some things, then you come across other subjects and you're like, wow, where did they get that idea? It just seems like truth and reality is sort of like crumbling around us. Some people call this the post-truth era, and that just makes me sad, because I happen to know that we have been actually, as humans, getting closer to truth and understanding reality than perhaps we ever were before, at least in our memory. And so why would we throw the baby out with the bathwater? Why? Just because science can be misrepresented and misinterpreted, and people can be misled by science. Why does that mean we have to throw away the whole scientific method? I really am worried about that. So we're going to talk today a little bit just about basically, you know, what types of studies are there, and how can we kind of quickly, I know everybody's pretty busy, right? We don't have a lot of time, but how can we evaluate studies and research and come to some sensible conclusions so that we can all find some common ground? Because, you know, no matter how effective we think, say, a medicine is, or an intervention, a medical intervention, there is always a cost-benefit analysis to consider. Even if a medication is perfectly, perfectly wonderful at curing something, if it causes something else that could be worse, right? We certainly need to be aware of that. And we have found that that happens throughout history all the time, that we start using interventions or medical procedures and then we discover, wait a minute, the costs were too great. We really don't need to be doing that, or at least not in certain cases and things. So we constantly need to be evaluating, and we need to stay grounded and have clear heads in order to do that. So that's my goal today, is to bring us down to some grounding. And these are some lesson plans that I've written. These are the things that I'm going to be covering today, are these lesson plans that I put together and I've put on my website. And I was hoping people would stumble upon them and read them. But this is so great to be able to come in the radio station here at WMRW. And, thanks for the tip, folks. it's great to come in here at to the station and be able to share this live and with my voice. And so if you're curious, you could go to my website. It's Vermont Mask Survey. So the website itself is VT, like Vermont, vtmasksurvey.com. And if you go to that site, you'll find at the top there are all kinds of tabs, and I have lots of sort of lesson plans and breakdowns of science. And I have a cheat sheet, a handout that I'm going to be going over today called Reading Studies Made Easy. Handout number 5. So what types of studies are there? You know, people can sometimes get a little overwhelmed because you hear about science and you hear about research all the time, but how do we compare them? Are we comparing apples to apples, really, when we compare two studies? And I'm sure you've heard of studies that prove crazy, ridiculous things, like, you know, Coca-Cola is good for your teeth, right? I'm sure someone has funded a study out there that says that. But just because there's one study that says that doesn't mean it's true, right? So how do we evaluate the validity of scientific information? So the first things we're going to focus on are the types of studies. What type of study is it? Let's just start with that, right? And that's where I think a lot of the confusion has been lately, is people are weighing certain things, certain types of studies and research as being heavier than others, when really that's not a fair analysis. We really have to understand what kind of study we're looking at. And let's start with the first type that you hear a lot about, peer-reviewed and published studies, right? So peer-reviewed and published studies are usually given more weight because they've been approved by fellow researchers. And so, you know, that is one way to help you evaluate research. Now, does that mean if something is not peer-reviewed yet, or if it's, you know, if it's still being peer-reviewed, it hasn't been completed yet, or if it's not peer-reviewed at all, does that mean it has no weight? Well, no, not necessarily. You know, all science is informative. All research is informative. It's just that we have to take that under consideration, is what, you know, what have other scientists, you know, said about this study or this research. And quite often nowadays, we're running into the problem of things being retracted. After they've been peer-reviewed and been published, they are being retracted. In some cases, it appears because the findings were not in line with certain agendas, which is very disturbing. And it gets back to funding and things like that, which we will be exploring more later on in the show for sure, how funding influences. But peer-reviewed, you have heard of that. How about randomized controlled studies? Have you heard of those? Those are often considered the cream of the crop, right, of the studies. What that means is that they were able to have a control group. They looked at the effect of one thing, really tried to narrow it down so that they could really see what one thing is doing on a certain population, and then they also compare it to another group that did not have that intervention, so that they can kind of, this is one step. Randomized controlled studies are one step in the process of trying to distill apart and tease apart correlation and causation. You know, just because two things happen at one time, does that mean one caused the other? Or are they both effects of something else completely? Or are they completely just random and it's just a coincidence? This takes lots and lots of research to finally tease apart. But randomized controlled studies are a really important step towards getting to that final solution, that final answer of did A cause B? Are we really clear on that? And they are the cream of the crop. And so when we have a randomized control study that we can look at when we're researching a subject, that's really helpful. However, they are also really expensive to conduct. And they are often held off because they are really expensive and time consuming. Scientists hold off on conducting those kinds of studies until they've already done some other kinds that are also in this mixed bag. So they'll do a lot of other kinds of studies to get an idea of whether it's even worth the trouble of doing the randomized controlled trial or study. Then there are things like mathematical models and epidemiological studies, which are great, right? If we want to kind of understand what we've found in real world science, we can use things like mathematical models and epidemiological studies to help us tease apart and understand the finer details of things that we have already come to learn and understand by real world research. Because let's just take mathematical models, for example. They are not real world research. A mathematical model is a computer program that someone builds, and they figure out which inputs we're going to put in and how, you know, we determine as humans, you know, the person building the program will decide what inputs are important, what inputs are not important, what weight each input should have when the model runs through the numbers. And so what it's spitting out is like second or third or fourth hand removed from reality. It's this scientist's interpretation of the weights and things that different influences have. And so it's very, very likely to be flawed, incredibly likely to be flawed. And it really should only be used to double check theories and that we have already come up with using real world science. See, there's a big difference between real world science that is based on real world situations and these other types that are not real world studies. So we have mathematical models, and then epidemiological studies are looking at numbers. So epidemiological studies look at big statistics, you know, how did this population fare when they were given vitamin D, for example, vitamin D supplements versus this different population, you know, who lives north of the equator. And, you know, we can do big studies like that, but because we are comparing statistics from different places, and inputs that we don't fully understand, right, then it's really easy to come to the wrong conclusion because statistics don't always line up. Say different countries, how they collect their statistics may be different. And so we're kind of comparing apples and oranges at that point. And so it can be really difficult to tease things apart enough in epidemiological studies to come to like a conclusion just based on them. We should not be hanging our hat on mathematical or epidemiological studies alone. We definitely need real-world research, which examines the effects under realistic conditions. That's what's necessary. We also have things like laboratory studies, which, again, are done in a laboratory. They're not real-world conditions. For example, say in a laboratory, we have studies of droplets and how much masks protect us from droplets and have all these different monitors for droplets flying through the air. But does that correlate to a real world situation? And are those droplets alone even infectious enough to be a problem? You know, so there are a lot of other things to consider. If we just look at droplets in isolation, that's what a laboratory study would do. It would look at a specific quality in isolation. It does not necessarily translate to the real world. And finally, we have systemic reviews and meta-analyses, which are a great place to go when you're first looking at a subject, because these have been compiled. These are lots and lots of studies, everything available. The researchers have found the best examples available on a subject, pulled them all together. They compare them. They compare their validity and their problems with each other. And it's a great way to kind of dip your feet in and find out an overview of what exists. And then you have to compare those to each other too, because they can be influenced, of course, by who's doing the research and where they looked for information. Anyway, we'll be back with more. Thank you for joining me. Let's get to some music.
Out the blue, along came something new. We've got to listen, they say it's different than what we've ever had to fight before. We're told to stay at home, we're no more free to roam. If you're seen out, you've got to pay up. But where's the money going to fund our own imprisonment? They're trying to stop the life that is our birthright. They're trying to fill our hearts with fear. Time to stand and say you won't be taken from us no more. Cause what we're dealing with is psychological war. It's for our best to be on house arrest. But while we're sleeping, they sit there thinking about how to keep us under their control. So guess what we all need? Oh yes, a fucking vaccine to protect ourselves or destroy our health, or the most convenient way to know where we are every day. They're trying to stop the life that is our birthright. They're trying to fill our hearts with fear. It's time to stand and say you won't be taken from us no more. Cause what we're dealing with is psychological war. Yes, we are. Don't believe what you hear.
All right, folks. Took a little music break for a little musical inspiration there. Get us in the mood for cracking the case. I love doing scientific research. I feel like it's sort of like being a reporter or a private investigator or something, hot on the trail of the truth, trying to find out what exists out there. And it has been a quite amazing act of advertising / propaganda here that has sort of convinced most people that there is this huge body of evidence, for example, that masks work and are effective and safe. And just by repeating that sentence over and over, you know, people have come to believe it. But if we really look, I really want people to check that fact. Just check it. Just look for it. And basically, I have asked everybody, okay? I've asked Dr. Levine. I've asked the Vermont Department of Health, the Agency of Education, school boards and supervisor unions, librarians all around. I've asked everybody, can you present any real-world, high-quality evidence that masks are safe or effective? And they cannot. They just can't. And so to help demonstrate to you why that science is lacking, it's best to go right to the source. I always go to the most valid, reliable sources I can find. Today we're going to talk about what the World Health Organization, for example, has to say, and the CDC on the subject. Because, you know, if they are making these recommendations, we should definitely read the science behind the recommendations. And that's what I'm definitely encouraging people to do. So if you want to go to my website, vtmasksurvey.com, VT like Vermont, masksurvey.com, you can find these cheat sheets that we're looking at today. One is called Reading Studies Made Easy, a handout. And there's also the Vermont Mask Survey final report, which I'm going to read from right now, because this is a really good example of science taken out of context. So this is what the World Health Organization has been saying since June of 2020, when they came out with their interim report, and they said that there was no real world or high quality scientific evidence that masks work. And they listed a bunch of harms to be aware of. And to be considering, of course, the cost-benefit analysis at all times of whether you are causing more harm than good. And in their report, they also say this, quote, in specific circumstances and settings in which procedures that generate aerosols are performed, airborne transmission of the COVID-19 virus may be possible. The scientific community has been discussing whether the COVID-19 virus might also spread through aerosols in the absence of aerosol-generating procedures, or AGPs. So what they're saying here is, in circumstances where, say, they are doing some incredible dental work, where there's, like, lots of air and stuff swishing around, I mean, not just a normal cleaning, but intense dental work, or something like that, aerosol-generating procedures, could that create enough in the air to infect somebody? Well, maybe, is what they're saying. This is an area of active research, they go on. So far, air sampling in clinical settings where AGPs were not performed found virus RNA in some studies, but not in others. So we have a discrepancy here. However, the presence of viral RNA is not the same as replication and infection-competent virus that could be transmissible and capable of sufficient inoculum to initiate invasive infection. So basically what they're saying is, even if it was found in the air, which it wasn't always in the studies, but in some studies they did find it in the air, does that mean there's enough of it to cause infection? No, they don't have any evidence of that. And that continues to today. It literally, if you look on the CDC website, COVID-19 is not an airborne. No. It's not an airborne virus. And these aerosols are in dispute of whether there could be enough of them, under what situations. So that's one example, right, of if we actually look at what it actually is saying. That's what the World Health Organization said back in June of 2020. And when I read all of this, I said, wait a minute, this is exactly not what we're being told. So what is going on? So what's another good place to go? Well, how about going right to the CDC? The CDC has a list of evidence. They call it their scientific brief, and you can find it on their website. You can also find it linked all over on my website, too, because I really want people to read the research. What evidence does the CDC have to back up their recommendations on masks? I have actually created a cheat sheet about this, and I've put it on my website that goes through all of the studies that the CDC had listed. Now, this was a few months ago, okay, because I haven't updated it every month. They do add studies now and again to their list. However, as of a few months ago, they did not have one single high-quality or real-world example of masks working in community settings with people without symptoms. Period, not one. And I make it really easy in the cheat sheet because I color-coded it so that you can see that that the studies are based on different types of research. For example, models. There are lots and lots of mathematical models in this list. Which we already discussed, are unable to come to reliable results because they're depending on the inputs that you put in. So they can really only be used to double check your work in other areas. They cannot be standalone evidence. Then we have studies of entire populations, which brings us back to the correlation does not equal causation argument. So there are countless factors to consider in the real world. Is that population doing better around COVID-19 because they're wearing masks? Or is it because generally they're a younger population? Or is it because of a million other factors that we could consider? Or maybe we're just looking at numbers that are from two totally different sources, so they're not even comparable. Then we also have another type of study in this list. We have lab studies of droplets. Well, we just talked about those, right, a few minutes ago. Lab studies of droplets, and according to what I just read from the World Health Organization, is not enough evidence of transmissible virus, existing in the air, nor is it evidence that that a facial covering would do anything to prevent it. So those are just, interesting, put it in your hat, look at the information, but it's not going to seal the deal. It's not conclusive for us when we're looking at validity of information. We also have studies of symptomatic people. Oh, yeah. So a lot of these studies in this list, we're looking at people with symptoms. Now, people with symptoms is a whole different situation. And traditionally, when we look at contagious or communicable diseases, it is very unlikely that respiratory viruses are spread by people without symptoms. That's just never been heard of. And that's another point I do want to mention, is many people have been questioning the science around this COVID situation that we've been in. All of the stories we've been told in the mainstream media just don't make sense. They just don't make sense when compared to the overarching larger body of evidence and knowledge and basic biology and hygiene that we've come to understand over, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years of research as humans. When we find a result that flies in the face of all of that, we have to kind of scratch our heads and say, And some of that misreasoning was because these studies of people with symptoms, people who are actively coughing, who had fevers, they are likely to spread viruses, especially within the one day before their symptoms come on and the 2 days after. But studying people with symptoms in those 3 days is completely different from studying people without symptoms and making everybody, follow certain rules regardless of symptoms. And then we also had studies in this list that compare mask wearing with other strategies. When we include things like hand washing or distancing or shutdowns, and then we combine throw in masks too, well, then we can't really tease apart, was it the masks? So using a study like that as evidence that masks work is just not accurate, because it was not able to actually prove that the masks and not these other strategies were the things that made the difference. And then finally, a few of the studies actually are on airplanes or submarines in the Navy. So prolonged close space contact in those kinds of bubble environments where you're recirculating the air and everything is completely different. And especially being in those settings for hours and hours and hours on end, right, with people, that is completely different from a community setting. So that's what all the studies are. They are all of the CDC's references are one of these types that I just described. And I have this all explained in my little cheat sheet. So I hope that people will take a moment to look at that. Thank you for joining me. This is really wonderful to be here. And I have another song for you. Keep us in the healing mood.
Hello, everybody. My name is Dickie Barrett. What a show. What a day. Everybody take an exhale. I'd like to talk just for a second about the things that are important in life. A belief in a higher power. Family. Love. And unity. Discover, find, and invent the well. Make it feel like it was no big deal. Make a killing if you're willing to do what it takes. And then, if you are willing, then have at it. Have a field day if you haven't had it. Have the wisdom and the wherewithal to call if you should crack again. We're not here to misinform you. We are only trying to warn you. We are with you, not against you. We only hope you got the common sense to realize we're unified. And realize we're here to back you. And not let anybody else attack you. So you know we're on your side. And we're unified. Unified. Classic textbook and it's typical. Roll the boulder back on up the hill. Get the feeling like the ceiling's gonna drop just like a rock on you. And as the ceiling starts to drop in, that's when you feel like your heart is stopping. Heart is stopping and your head's up on the chopping block there too. It's not something you would find for. What you were built for or designed for. We are with you, not against you. We only hope you got the common sense to realize we're unified. And realize we're here to back you. And not let anybody else attack you. So you know we're on your side.
They're lying and they've gagged us, and they're ruling us with fear. Won't you please come out to protest, show your face. In a land once known as freedom, how can such a thing occur? Won't you please come out to protest, let Gates and Fauci have a taste. We can take the world, the world. Rearrange the world. It's dying. Yeah, it's dying. I say it to get better. Wa na 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 na. Yeah. Politicians took away our jobs. They're coming for our youth. Yeah. Won't you please come out to protest? Take a ride. Don't ask Joe to help you, cause you'll only feel his bruise. this. Won't you please come out to protest, or else join the other side? 'Cause we can change the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, right here, this man right here, his name's Grant Elman from Presence Music. He's a young freedom fighter. Grant!
All right, you guys, I want some help. We're going to raise the vibration out here. You guys ready to sing along with me? We're going to raise the vibration. Here's how it's going to go. When I say freedom, you say sovereignty. Freedom.
Sovereignty.
Freedom.
Sovereignty.
When I say freedom, you say sovereignty. Freedom.
Sovereignty.
Freedom. When I say freedom, you say unity. Freedom.
Unity.
Freedom. A skibbily bum ba bum 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 bum. Yes. Because we're living through a scam, yeah, 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 yeah. I said we're living through a scam, yeah, 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 yeah. Sing it with me. Because we're living through a scam, yeah, 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 yeah. Say. I said we're living through a scam, yeah, 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 yeah. Break down them walls, said it's time to unify. Differences between us make us beautiful and divine. And politicians, them, they use that difference to divide. And I know who I am, my heart is in alignment. Standing up to the tyrants, no need to live in confinement. Babylon crumbling before my eyes, I'm not surprised yet. Every breath I take in the oxygen, I'm optimizing. My health is my true wealth and no vaccine will compromise it. Needles ejecting into the sheep of the genetically modified. The operating system 5G comes online. If death by toxic chemicals or heavy metals ever make the headlines, blame it on the virus which they haven't purified. That's right, say. Listen it. We're living through a scam, yeah, yeah. I said we're living through a scam. A scam, a scam. Said we're living through a scam, yo. Alright, I want to see everybody's hands in the sky for this one. You ready? We're going to wave our hands side to side. Because we will reclaim, we will reclaim, we will reclaim our sovereignty. We growing stronger, we growing stronger each day. Hey, hey, hey. Because we will reclaim, we will reclaim our sovereignty. We growing stronger, we growing stronger each day. Scam, yeah, 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 yeah. And we not let no politician control us. And we living through a scam, yeah, 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 yeah. We practice self-ownership. So we living through a scam, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, that's right. So we living through a scam, a scam, a scam. I said we living through a scam, yo. Give it up one more time for Dickie Barrett. I hope y'all have a beautiful day. It's beautiful to celebrate freedom with y'all here today. Once again, my name is Grant from Presence Music. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Well, folks, we will reclaim our sovereignty. And that is really my hope through all of this. I have never actually had more hope in the human race and felt more health and harmony and humor and happiness in my life than I have in just the last few months, the last year or so, as people are waking up and coming together and claiming their sovereignty over their own minds, their own beliefs, their own hearts, getting back in alignment with natural law and truth. this is just so great. I feel so connected. And there are many, many people just waking up to this. And I am here to encourage folks that it is a beautiful path, not to lead with fear, to choose love. And I really want people to remember that this is a joyous and a joyful process of awakening and discovering the truth. And I brought with me today a really interesting book that a lot of people have been devouring over the last year, The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a New York Times best-selling author, of course, and this is his latest book, and a lot of people are aware of the work of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. around environmental issues. Over the many, many decades, he's a really good lawyer. He has a team of lawyers with him, and he makes sure that anything that he says is backed up. And talk about validity and valid sources. This book is a very, in my estimation, a very valid reference and resource around all of the actual science, the actual history, the actual people involved with what has been going on through this COVID-19 role play, basically gone live, that we have all been a part of here over the last few years. And let's see here. I'm going to read a few parts of it. I discovered reading, it's a very big book. And there are even several libraries in Vermont that refuse to carry it. I guess they consider it disinformation. So I thought it was really important to bring what is in this book to as many people as possible over the airwaves is definitely a great way to do it. And while it is a huge book, and it goes into the HIV and AIDS crisis and how Dr. Fauci and the PCR tests were involved with that. Very interesting because that's my background. So I found that section very interesting, how this COVID-19 is really just another a new version of the old scenario. So what are these scenarios? We're going to find out. These are actually role plays that the government, along with other governments, gets together and does to practice how to react and respond in these times of crisis. So first I want to help you understand, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. does a great job of helping us understand the connection between the anthrax attacks, I guess it all started really if we back up to the Soviets, right? The Soviet threat and how we had to turn that, our military-industrial complex turned our fears from Soviets to terrorism, right? To kind of shift gears but keep the funding flowing. I'm sure folks who remember the Iraq War and everything that happened in the early 2000s and the devastation and how horrified we were that the world went to war, right? Against all reason, against all science, against all truth. They went to war against these people, right? Against a war on terrorism and really just for profit. I mean, anybody who can follow the money can see that it's really just about profit for these folks. And then it also went to biosecurity, from terrorism to biosecurity now. That's where we're at. So biosecurity is really just a new version of the old game. It's funding and following the money and following the characters involved is what Robert F. Kennedy does a really good job of in his book. And I'm sorry, hold on a second, folks. I have to plug something in real quick. I guess we'll just forego the music for a moment, and I'll just read. How's that? So here's a good clip to explain why our military-industrial complex shifted gears from terrorism to biosecurity. See, they were doing all this research into bioterrorism and different chemicals that we could use, you know, to attack other countries, or what chemicals are other countries going to use against us. This was the research that was going on. But however, I'm starting from the book here, it all ended seemingly in late 1969, when President Nixon traveled to Fort Detrick to announce the closure of America's bioweapons program for moral and strategic reasons. America signed the Biological Weapons Convention in 1972, forbidding development, use, and stockpiling of biological weapons, and mothballed most of its labs. But the agreement, a supplement to the Geneva Convention, left thousands of scientists, military contractors, and Pentagon caliphs as stranded assets yearning for the program's revival. The treaty also included a yawning loophole. It allowed production of anthrax and other biological warfare agents for vaccine production. See, so I'm going to stop there because that's all we have time for, but just let mull that over for a while, that it was because the treaty, the Geneva Convention that Nixon signed, which, hallelujah, right? We don't want biological weapons on our planet. It was a good idea for the governments to come together and agree, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. Biological weapons are inhumane, and they're likely to escape by accident. You know, there's all kinds of dangers involved with them. Let's just agree to not do this anymore. And they did. However, they left a little loophole in there, which allowed them to research protection against bioweapons. So how to protect your civilians from bioweapons, not how to create them, but how to protect your civilians from bioweapons that other groups might develop and put on your people, right? So what does that include? Vaccines. Ah, vaccines. So studying vaccines is a backdoor way for governments to fund bioweapons research under the name, under the title, the umbrella of vaccine research. Wow, I found that all very interesting, right? How that connects. And so we're going to do a little bit more reading from this book when I come back again, because I will be back again. I'm coming back to the 4-H show again in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be on with Jerry, and I'm going to interview her, which I'm really excited to do. She's such a great person, and it's just so fun being in here with her. And then I will be back again to substitute for her on the 30th. So the last Friday of the month, I will be back. I'm going to continue doing some of these scientific validity workshop kind of thing that we did today. I'm going to continue that. You can find those resources on my website at vtmasksurvey.com. The resources that I was using today that broke down the different types of scientific research. And so we're going to do more of that. We're going to dig deeper into how to evaluate scientific research for yourself, how to do it easily and with confidence, and with, of course, happiness and humor and harmony and health, right? And I also want to let folks know that I do a children's show. I'm a programmer on WGDR out of Plainfield, Vermont, which is also a community radio station. I love community radio stations, and I'm a big fan. So I'm so excited that WMRW is going to begin airing Amy's Kids Show on Saturday morning. So tomorrow morning, you can tune in, I believe, at 7 o'clock in the morning. Rise and shine with the roosters, literally. I always have lots of roosters on my kids' show. Hint, hint. So tune in for that, because I love to continue with the same themes. Health, harmony, humor, and happiness. This is the perfect landing for me, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. It looks like we are about ready to move on to the next show. And so my computer died on me. Next time I'll plug it in. I'm learning. This is my first time flying solo here at the studio, and it has been so much fun. Thank you for joining me. Happy last of the summer days. Enjoy every second, you guys. And remember, you're the greatest. You really are. And take really good care of yourself.